dive deep into the realm of large language models, prompt engineering, and best practices. With over 25 years of combined AI and product engineering experience, here are your hosts, Bradley Arsenault and Justin Makarin.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, Justin.
All right. So on this podcast, we are going to be talking about prompt experimentation. And you added a fantastic idea to my repertoire of how to get prompts to work properly. And that's with this whole like sample data set thing. So I build a prompt with variables, if else statements, loops, all this kind of stuff. I run the prompt, I get samples, I then modify the prompt, I rerun the samples. Is that the best way of kind of figuring out or at least building out that initial prompt?
So your prompt, the prompts, they're like templates, right? And they get filled in with these variables. The reason I kind of landed on that initially, I mean, coming from a background of like more typical model building, right? Like everything revolves around data sets. Now data sets are getting obsolete as I'm increasingly learning, but like previously that was like the mentality, right? Like you build up this very kind of manicured data set. You double checked everything, you verified everything, and then you run the model to get your accuracy. So, you know, when I was kind of suggesting that page, that was the mindset I was thinking on, is like, okay, I need to run the prompt as if that one prompt is a whole model. It's like this prompt is like a transformation function, and I want to measure it with statistics.
So you mentioned that, you know, data sets is decreasing in importance. I think that's definitely true for kind of like cold start problems, right? Like image classification and text classification and just like getting things off the ground. But I still think that samples feature that you kind of created there is special, because we know that even for large language models, you know, a really good data set, if you fine tune a large language model, it's very, very valuable, because now that LLM is fine-tuned for a specific use case, it's probably going to perform better than an English language prompt because it's fine-tuned. Do you feel the same thing?
Yeah, I guess like the prompts kind of get you to 80%. That's how I kind of think, you know, like, and it used to be you needed a data set of like 500 samples to get to 80%. So now being able to do that from nothing is a massive improvement. And then previously, the data sets we used to get need 10,000 samples to get like a 99.9% accuracy. That's all spitballing there. But like now, the same data set, you know, 200 samples will get you that same sort of 99%. So the data set is still involved to getting to those high accuracy numbers, I feel. But the sizes have shrunk a lot. That's really amazing and like really opens up a lot.
So in this process, in the experimentation process for prompts, I think something that would be interesting would be to kind of uncover maybe one or two most important actions that we can take.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that one, building a prompt is super important, but is it the most important? Maybe not. I don't know.
I guess like we're trying to figure out, right, this concept of what is a good process, like of prompt engineering. You know, all engineering needs a process. One thing that's clear is you got to be iterative. You're not don't just build that prompt once, run it. It's just like software. You iterate, you try, you check the results, you iterate, you know, you try different things. Another thing I find with prompt experimentation is that often a lot of the changes can be completely arbitrary. Like you have to be really creative. Like I'm going to flip this word. I'm going to flip this word. I'll rearrange the sentence this way. Like you just keep trying stuff. There's no rhyme or reason. Honestly, half the time you think of something that works, you're like, oh, like the model really interprets the word rewrite different than the word modify. That's what I learned. With like the difference in results on the prompt were really, really very significant between those two words, you know? So it's like, you just got to throw stuff at the wall. Do you find that?
Yeah, I see myself rewriting. I see myself rewording. I see myself reorganizing variables within the prompt. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's at the bottom. I use a sandwich approach as well.
I'm always
like it's almost like, you know, ad hoc, you know, different tests, very, very quickly, very iterative. I try to get the prompt integrated in source code as quickly as possible. And I try to run as many samples or at least examples as possible as well to kind of build up that initial sample set to see, to then like go back, look at the results. And that's actually super valuable too, so that when I go back in time and make those modifications to the prompt, I could actually go back to those samples with those variables and regenerate the prompt. And
I want to clarify this for our listeners here. So your prompt takes some input variables.
Yep.
You go to the real software, the actual application, and call that prompt. So you're getting real values on those variables, the actual stuff that's flowing through the software. And then you have like 50, 75 of them. You're running that prompt against all of them, or maybe not all of them, but a bunch of them.
Yeah, so
you're seeing how that prompt's behaving in the real world, like on real data.
That's right. So I spend very little time writing my initial prompt. The only goal there is to make sure that I have the variables that are needed and the minimum wording required to get some sort of output. And then I'll immediately integrate it in source code and I'll start experimenting with different variables and different values and all this kind of stuff as I collect that sample data set. And once, you know, I got maybe 10, 20 different results, then I'll revisit the prompt. And now it's a very iterative process without touching source code, right? To kind of flip and flop between the sample data set and the prompt. Modify the prompt, regenerate the samples to see the results. Modify the prompt, regenerate the samples until I get it a real, real good spot.
I see. And it running it in bulk, it seems very important here. Is like it really accelerates your process.
It does. And I honestly don't see another, like, man, this is a very good way of getting things done quickly, man. Like from an iterative process, this is a very, very
I have one question for you. Yeah. What happens if like you get halfway through this prompt experimentation and like you realize there's like another variable that you need to add?
Well, I'll just add it. I'll rerun
Does that like discard your existing data set? Like that's
I'll just delete them, or I'll just add more samples to the data set and just like ignore the other ones. But adding the variables have never really been an issue for me. Sometimes, it's never really been an issue. The only time that I really do it is if I collect that initial sample, I regenerate, I keep on iterating and generating, and I'm still not seeing the results that I want. Then I basically have two options. Option number one is if the prompt is too complex, I'll break it down. And then option number two is if the prompt needs more context or more information, then I'll just add a new variable. Either way, that process of like iterating and like creating that sample data set is very much, in my opinion, required. And it helps me build things very, very quickly.
So we've got one big takeaway idea here is just like systematically run your prompts against multiple inputs.
Yep.
And like if you do that in bulk, make a nice UI for it, you know, something like what Prompt Desk has, and that can save you a lot of time.
Exactly.
Now here's what I want to spitball with you. How can we do even better than that? Where do we go next? How do we do even better on this? What is prompt engineering? It's the programming 2.0. We gotta figure out how this works.
I think that there are different components to this. And I think that the first component is creating a prompt from scratch. And I'm not sure, you know, I think that that'll continue to be important. I think another component is probably to use a data set to kind of build out a prompt. So now instead of writing a prompt, you're using a data set to generate a prompt. And that generated prompt may be English. It may be, you know, special characters. It may be gibberish. It might be whatever, right?
What do you mean? Sorry, what do you mean by a generated prompt?
So what I mean is there are ideas out there right now that are flowing. And I think that before we had Laura, we had something called prefix tuning, where you would generate tokens that you would input to the large language model. And those tokens were actually not created by a human. They were created by a model. A sample data set generated tokens and iteratively generated those results over and over and over again. And then it's still a log loss, right?
Yeah. Like you can it's like back propagating into the word vectors at the beginning of the model, except that you're just inventing new word tokens that like are completely arbitrary for your specific problem. That's clever, right. Actually.
And at the end of the day, like if you actually like convert those tokens to actual words or characters, it's complete gibberish, right? But the importance.
Well, I guess someone must have built something that can then take a data set and back into an English prompt, like a regular English language prompt. Surely that must also be possible.
I'm sure it's possible. I haven't seen it, but it doesn't sound like outside the realm of possibility, right? Like
definitely not. Right?
I think that's interesting. I think another component too is just our ability to integrate these prompts into source code. We know that today.
Yep.
We're hard coding, and maybe like we're moving away from the hard coding, but I think that there's still not like a good standard way of building these prompts, and I think that's killing I think that's seriously hindering accelerated process in integrating AI conditional logic into source code, like conditional logic, like if else statements, right?
Yeah.
Historically, you know, we've used Boolean values, true, false, if this, then that.
Yeah.
It's an amazing opportunity today to use large language models to do a lot of that conditional logic, not on Boolean values, but on actual text data.
What do you mean here? So I have an example. Like I'm helping a friend make a coaching bot, and like one of the things it has to do is like proactively follow up. So right. I have a prompt that is just like, hey, look at this conversation, and if it meets these conditions, respond yes or no. And then based on whether the model returns yes or no, I can trigger some like hard-coded logic on whether to send them an email or not.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying, or are you saying something different?
What I'm saying. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know,
so it's like mixing together the AI with
logic, right? Like, like historically logic, true, false. Today we have an opportunity to use logic for so much more, and it could really power apps to like on the next level, man. And I think that right now there's a source code prompt disconnect where we can't do that quickly right now. And that's another thing that I'm really working on very, very hard. I think that our ability to integrate large language model type applications within source code is also an enormous area of opportunity that I don't think is being explored as much as just like building prompts. Like, and I really don't know why.
Yeah, I guess it's just the field is so new, you know, it's like there's a lot of avenues for us to really go down. So you're saying one part of this sort of better prompt engineering processes is you know, potentially building data sets. One is potentially, you said, using data sets to reverse into a prompt, maybe like invent a custom prompt. What else? Do what else can we think? We've talked before about quality control, you know, can like maybe that can be baked into a process where you could like derive metrics from prompts. Like how do you ever deal with style? Is that something you work with a lot in your prompts?
What do you mean by style?
It's something that's like very subtle and difficult to evaluate. You know, it's like, I need this content to be bold. What does it mean for text to sound bold? Well, I want it to sound bold, you know, like
almost like style,
tone of voice and just more subtle characteristics. Is that something you engineer a lot?
Yeah. Yes. And I think it's something that you need to describe, right? Because if you just say, hey, you know, generate this sentence or generate this text, you're basically allowing the large language model to kind of do whatever it wants. And I think that if you define how you want the text generated with more detail, it'll do a better job. I also think that providing it with samples is also super helpful. And I think that when we go into this tone-based thing, I often will resort to a few-shot approach. And I feel that works really, really, really well as well.
So like let's say you're doing a prompt to generate a LinkedIn post. You say, hey, generate a LinkedIn post about this. Here's a few examples.
That's right. So what I would do is I would take the tone or maybe samples from a LinkedIn user, such as myself or someone else, and I would just basically create a description of the post. So description, post, description, post, description, post. Mm-hmm. And now when you give it a description, there's a much higher likelihood that the large language model generates the next post with the same tone that it saw in the three previous examples. So now you don't even need to use English to describe what tone you want it. It just does it.
So I get another point that we've had in the process engineering or the prompt engineering is like leaning into the way the model naturally wants to behave. And I think that what you just described is that the model likes repeating patterns. It seems to be true of all the LLMs. Like they pick up repeating patterns just perfectly. That's their like natural state.
Yeah. I think that it is their natural state. I think that it's the repeating patterns is helpful to like generate a title, a paragraph. I think that the repeating patterns though start to be a little bit more difficult to implement when we're dealing with many, many variables or when we're trying to generate a very large piece of text, because now you need those very large pieces of text examples. And we know that if we put too much large pieces of text in a prompt,
then
it's not going to generate as well. So there's a balance to be had. I think that if you're trying to generate something small, short, sweet, you can use examples. You could use that. If not, then you're going to need to figure out another way.
I see. I'm curious. I kind of touched on it earlier, but we didn't get there. The use of metrics in our prompt engineering process. I don't think anyone really uses metrics in any sort of rigorous sense right now. It's still a very new discipline. Maybe a few people do, but like, where could metrics come into our prompt engineering? Are they valuable or are they obsolete? What do you think?
I think that I'm going to take that question and flip it right back at you. Honestly, I think that you probably have more experience with this metric stuff than I do at this point.
I do love metrics, actually. Oh, yeah. So, sure. I will. It's like the cornerstone of anytime I like join an AI team, I'm like, hey, how are you measuring the accuracy? And they're just like, oh, we just use this sloppy measure. And I'm like, oh, let's tighten that up. Like that, we should have very clear ideas on how good, well our model behaves. Okay, this is something that I've been thinking about, and I guess touching on the episode we released a while back about quality control on models, is that we can have our main prompt, we have our data set of inputs, like you were saying, the samples of the values that get filled into that template prompt. Then we have additional prompts, the assertion prompts, and maybe some like tone checking prompts, and like we run those prompts on the results on the outputs of the main prompts, and you know, maybe there's some valuable metrics there, like what if we like with this chatbot that I'm working on with this friend, it's really important to get the tone right. Like, she wants to make a bot to advise people on like difficult situations in the workplace. Obviously that can get very touchy, you know, and it's important that the bot has the right tone, the right use of emojis. Yes, emojis in this situation, no emojis in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's where this technique can come in, and we can write an assertion prompt that looks like, hey, you know, do you think the emojis are applicable in this situation, or even something simpler, just like look at the metrics, like the number of emojis that were, you know, produced in the output on your data set or stuff like that. I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, but I feel like we could use prompts to generate data that we then get statistics on, and that those statistics form metrics that we can analyze.
Yeah, no, I think that this whole assertion prompt space is something that's fascinating. I saw another startup implementing assertion prompts into their product, and
yep.
I think that it's something that we first discussed in one of our earlier podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that we should just stop here, and we should definitely have an entire podcast on assertion prompts and other techniques of validating results. Cause I think that this is so important that we shouldn't just like, you know, spend 30 seconds on or a minute on. I honestly would love to dive deeper on that with you.
I think that's a fair point. That's a fair point. So I guess we're going to put a pin in this now. The process for prompt experimentation is not yet finalized. But like, key takeaway in this episode, I guess, is that you should be running your prompt on multiple inputs. Like, don't be lazy. The more you can, more inputs you run it on, the better. And they should be like realistic inputs from your real application.
And also iterate.
Iterate, yes.
Immediately and start iterating. Right.
Yeah.
Make modifications, make sure that you're generating.
And be really creative. Yeah. Like, you really have to be very creative with those modifications. Yeah. You never know what'll actually like turn the prompt and suddenly make it work. It's kind of arbitrary.
Exactly. All right, Brad, pleasure chatting with you. Looking forward to chatting. Right.
Great to chat with you again, Justin. Talk to you later.
Thank you for joining us. If you've enjoyed today's episode, hit subscribe and stay updated on our latest content. We appreciate your support.